Synergy by Jesse Goldberg Strassler. In the middle of a magical second date, a red flag was raised. "I like you," said he. It was a tepid, unimaginative way of putting things, and how lamely, nervously spoken. But he was so startlingly beautiful, from his lips to his eyes to his hair, that she couldn't help but forgive him. His whole being was a work of art. She gazed at him, and the red flag was taken down, folded up, and placed neatly out of mind. "But," said he, "I have to tell you something." There were speckles of color in his hair. It was not pure blonde. There were, somehow, oranges and yellows and reds and whites throughout, and it all combined to make him shimmering golden. He said something else, but she was not fully paying attention. Something about how he was prosaic. "So you're not perfect," she said, admiring the glimpses of goldenrod and olive in his blue-gray eyes. "We'll make it work." She did not think anything more of this until later in the evening, after dinner, in her car, parked outside his house. She leaned in to kiss him, caressing his face, and one of her fingernails scraped at something small. He gasped in pain and pulled back, pressing his hand to his cheek. "What is it?" she asked, confusion verging on concern. "Did I scratch you?" He winced his way through a smile. "Don't worry about it." She realized then that the small something had lodged beneath her fingernail, and she extracted it and held it closer to her eyes. It was tiny and diamond-shaped, white and rough on one side, a creamy pink on the other. His eyes lit up, and he held out an immaculate hand. "Here." She did not give it to him directly. "What is this?" "I told you at dinner." "No, you didn't," she said. "I think I'd have remembered." He brought his fingers away from his cheek, and her mouth fell open. Instead of the red mark she had expected to see, there was a noticeable pit of stone gray amid the smooth, healthy combinations of peach tan and pink. "You see? Now, here." His tone was pleasant, but she still didn't place the tiny diamond-shaped thing in his palm. "Wait." She turned the thing around in her fingers until the rough side faced him, and then reached up and inserted it into the open place on his cheek. She tried to laugh away her discomfort. "Your face is like a jigsaw puzzle." But that only made it all the more disturbing. His face was like a jigsaw puzzle. There were hair-thin lines all over his face when she looked closer, separating his skin into tiny segments. He had the same hair-thin lines on his hands and on his neck. Then, making things all the worse, the tiny diamond-shaped thing fell out of his cheek, exposing the stone-gray pit once again. He shook his head. "I knew it wouldn't keep. It needs a special kind of adhesive." "What are those lines?" she said. "What's wrong with your cheek?" Her nerves tightened and her eyes hardened. "I told you at dinner," said he. "I am a mosaic." And he smiled his most dazzling smile. "You're not. I am." "A mosaic," she said automatically, "is a type of art in which small stones are put together to make a larger picture. Stones, sure. Or glass. Or tile. And it's not always necessary for them to make a picture. Sometimes it's just to make up a nice pattern." He shrugged. "Or me." "You're not a mosaic," she snapped. He held out the tiny diamond-shaped something. "Would you like to gouge me again?" "You're not a mosaic. You're a person. I'm both," said he. "They're not mutually exclusive. You're many different things molded up in one, aren't you? You're a daughter. You're a sister. You're a teacher. You're a swimmer. You're a singer. And onward." She stared at him suspiciously. "Let's say you are a mosaic." He smiled beautifully. "You're made up of," she pointed, "that. Did some artist go about making you in a studio one day?" "In a matter of speaking," said he, "I was created." "By who?" "By my parents, as you were by yours." "Your parents are artists," she said, following up. "Yes, they're divorced now, split when I was 7. My mother's remarried, but I don't like my stepdad much. My father hasn't remarried. How about your parents?" "My mother's a trial lawyer. My father teaches middle school English," she said. "Married 29 years last month. I told you that at dinner tonight." "Oh," he stopped uncertainly. "You did? I guess I was distracted." "Really? Distracted? By you?" "Well," she resisted, "you're smooth." "Not as smooth as I'd like to be," said he, gingerly touching the small pit on his cheek. "How long are your nails, anyhow?" "Smooth and distracting. Trying to distract me from the fact that you say you're somehow a mosaic. Don't you have blood? Don't you have internal organs?" "I have a heartbeat," said he, and he brought her hand to rest on his chest. It was impossible, she knew, but she could feel the hair-thin lines underneath his shirt, dividing him into millions, billions of small, diamond-shaped somethings, rhythmically pulsing inward and outward. She ran her fingertips along them. They sat there, heartbeats quickening. "You're a mosaic," she said. "I am. Even though it's impossible. Even though it's impossible." He winked. "It's better than being cubist." "Don't be judgmental," she said. His face fell, chastened. "Would you date a still life?" She considered this. "No. Terrible dance partners, among other potential failings." "An impressionist?" "Total bores," she said, dismissing the idea straight off. "They do all the same voices, and they think they're the funniest things on earth, and they can never really turn it off, either." "Abstract." "Confusing." "Portrait?" "No fun to be around." "Oils," she grinned. "Much more fun." She reached a hand up and stroked through his hair with its wonderfully grained textures. It was softer than his skin, if she could call it skin, but she could still feel all of the different tiny somethings that had gone into creating it. It must have been painstaking work. But wasn't the growth and development of all forms of life its own sort of painstaking work? And then, as she was still pondering this, he broke his own pensive silence. "I really do like you." He gauged her reaction, hopefully. She laughed. "You are prosaic." Dismay fell across his gorgeous complexion. She gave him a teasing peck on the tip of his nose. "I should be getting back home. Are you free on Friday?" He brightened. "Yes." "Good. We'll figure out the details before then." She kissed him lightly again, this time on his lips. "If you don't hear from me tomorrow, don't go to pieces." He opened the car door. "You be careful with me. I'm fragile." "I'm not," said she.